He sure hadn't done anything to make me not trust him, but it sure is good. All right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2 tonight. Proverbs chapter 2. And if you do start over in your Bible reading, I don't know. How many of you, does anybody read a proverb a day or some sort of section? Okay, yeah, that's good. That's a very common thing. That's a good thing to do for sure. And maybe even through the message tonight, we'll see a little bit more of why that's a good thing for sure. So Proverbs chapter number 2. Now, as an overall just reminder for the book of Proverbs, we say it and we believe it and we know it's true. But we do categorize the book of Proverbs as a book of what? Wisdom. That's right. The book of wisdom. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live on the earth. Sometimes I have a hard time believing that. When you got 700 wives and 300 concubines, I say you're an idiot. Okay. But at the same time, that is a good reminder that no matter how much wisdom or how much knowledge we have, if we don't apply it, we'll still miss out. So it's not about how much you know. It's a good reminder. It's how much you do, okay? All right, and so that's a good reminder. But if we'll think about it, so Solomon was writing to his son, Rehoboam, and overall, in general, the book of Proverbs is him giving this wisdom and saying, hey, here's wisdom. This is what some of that divinely given from God wisdom that he received, he's passing it on, okay? And so while we look at it, and we do say that, it is very true. This is a book of wisdom. It doesn't necessarily read like any other book of the Bible, maybe a little bit more like Psalms, right? Psalms and the individual psalm. It's not a book necessarily that carries from chapter 1 all the way to chapter, what, 150, right? Is that Psalms? Okay, all right. A little Bible trivia tonight, okay? And so, you know, each chapter is its own psalm, so it doesn't read necessarily. So Proverbs is a little bit like that, in the sense that you're reading along, and it's not necessarily, while it is one big thought of wisdom, it doesn't necessarily just read, here's step one to step, whatever it would be, 7,452, right, in Proverbs 31. Okay, it doesn't necessarily read like that, but at the same time, it's a wise king who's sharing that wisdom. And so some of it is snippets. This is good. This is good. This is wisdom. Okay. So as we think about that, when we look at Proverbs chapter 2, I do want us, you're right there. So I always want to start Proverbs with Proverbs 1-2. Okay. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding. Okay. Now it continues on and there's more there. Okay. But that's really the overall thought. Here it is. Okay. To know wisdom and instruction. Okay, so as we think about that, as we go to Proverbs 2, we're going to read the whole proverb. All right, so let's read it together. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and perceiveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, to leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth her, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. For thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And as we look tonight, we're going to go through the whole chapter, but don't worry. I'm going to, as Elizabeth Taylor said to all her husbands, don't worry, I'm not going to keep you long, okay? That's a terrible, terrible joke, but it is probably what she said. But either way, as we look into Proverbs 2, I will say that we're not going to necessarily just dive into every good nugget of truth that's here, okay? But we are going to kind of do a little breakdown of the whole thing and kind of give us, hopefully, a good launching pad for tomorrow, for the first day of a new year. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. God, and while some of the blessings through the year have been mentioned as testimony tonight, God, I know in a room this size, with a crowd this size, God, that you've worked and you've done miracles. God, you've done things that we never thought possible. God, you brought us through things that we never saw coming. God, and you did all of that. And we thank you for it. We praise you for all of your wonderful works to the children of men. And so we thank you for that tonight. God, as we do look into Proverbs chapter 2, I pray that you'd help us. God, help this year coming ahead. God, help us to start it off on a right foot. God, help us to be seeking your wisdom through the whole entire year. God, because as we close out the last night of this year, God, the truth is we have no idea what we'll face this year. God, you're the only one that knows that. And so I pray that you'd help us. God, help us to be seeking you on the good days, that we'll be prepared for those bad days that might come this year. So God, I just pray that you'd work and you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked some questions from this passage, and we've kind of figured out some of the answers from this passage. So if you think about it, that's how we'll kind of go through it, okay? So when we look here at verse number 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Something that we got to remember before we even get started into this, that wisdom from God is available, okay? It's there. God has it. New Testament, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not. Okay? Wisdom is available. There's one word in verse number 1 that really, two words, that I really look at, and that is this, wilt receive. Wilt receive. That's a question that we have to each ask individually. So God's got wisdom. Now here's the question, am I going to receive it? Okay? Am I going to receive it? Salvation. Salvation is offered to all. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the key is not whether the gift of eternal life is available. We know that it is. In salvation, it's whether you'll receive it, right? You accept the perfect gift of salvation, okay? We all had to come to that point in our life. If we haven't yet, you have to, okay? You have to at some point. You have to receive the free gift of salvation. It's offered and available to all, but those that receive it will get it. Okay? Now, here's the deal. Wisdom is the same way in the sense that God has it. He has abundantly wisdom. He's got all the wisdom that we could need. The question is, will we receive it? Everybody in here, at some form or fashion, do you have a copy of God's word? Right, so we have it, okay? The question is not whether we have it. We've answered that question through the fact that we have God's written word to mankind. It's right here. Okay, we have it. But will we receive it? And the truth is, only you can answer that. And you can only answer that for yourself. And the truth of the matter is, many times, let's be honest, sometimes it's not always that we'll receive it. Sometimes my wife says the right thing to me, but I'm not willing to accept it. That happens. Okay? But the problem is that it happens with our relationship with Christ as well. That we're upset. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Okay? Did you ask him? Have you sought him? And not only have you sought him, now are you going to receive it? When the Lord, anybody ever, okay, I can only say it this way. Anybody ever get a whooping from the Lord? Okay, I get those every once in a while for sure. Yes, okay, we'll just suffice it with that, okay? I need it a lot, okay? But sometimes the Lord, the Bible says that to all his children he does correct, okay? So it's a good thing when the Lord corrects us. And again, the question is, will I receive it? Will I receive it? Will I receive that correction? Will I receive that instruction? And again, that's something that you have to answer for yourself. So we're talking about receiving it. So what are we supposed to receive? Well, let's read verses 1 through 4. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Now, what are we to seek after? Three things from this passage right here. Ready? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That's what we're to be seeking. That's what we're supposed to be seeking and receiving. Okay, the Lord's given it. Again, we go back to, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Sometimes the reason why you don't have the wisdom for where you're at and what you need help with is because you haven't asked. But secondly, is sometimes you have it, you just don't want to act upon it. Because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes I'd rather throat punch somebody than forgive them. You don't struggle with that? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad that's not your battle. That's mine sometimes. Okay? All right? Sometimes I'd rather throat punch than to do what God asked me to do, right? Okay, so what we need to be seeking after is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And here's the question, how do we seek for it, right? How do we seek for it? Well, again, in verse 1, we receive and we hide those commandments. Now, I understand very clearly the context here, that when it talks about in verse number 1, Solomon is saying, my son, okay? But let us understand that that relationship, the father-son relationship, is very clear illustration of us and our heavenly Father, okay? So I'm not trying to beat around the bush and saying, oh, well, that's not Solomon. No, Solomon is saying that to his son, but it's a very good application for all of us in our heavenly Father, right? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become a son of God, and we have that relationship. So it's a really good picture of our relationship with Christ. So I understand he's saying, Solomon, my son, if thou wilt receive and hide, but can't we also apply that with other Bible verses for our relationship with Christ, right? That we receive his words. Okay, I think of hide, that I might hide his word in our heart, that we might not sin against him, right? Those things. So we can see that very clear, okay? So how do we seek for it? First of all, we got to receive it. We hide it. Verse number 2 is something very in particular. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So here's two more things. So we got to receive it and hide it. We have to listen and apply it, okay? Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Here's how I broke this one down. We have to ask for it. Okay? We have to ask. We have to ask. We have not because we ask not. Okay? So we got to ask. All right? And then, lastly, we look at it this way. We got to look for it like treasure. Like treasure. Verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Now, when it does go to the female context here of her, it is speaking specifically about wisdom. Wisdom. So when we see that, if thou seekest for her, for who's her? Wisdom. Wisdom is her. Okay? So that's how that applies. But we see that. So how do we seek for this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? We got to receive and hide. We listen and apply. We ask, and we look for it like treasure. Okay? So let me tell you, a man by the name of Ironside, H.A. Ironside, he said it this way. He said, it is no careless reading of the scripture that is here indicated. Okay? It's not a careless reading. Okay, so here we are. We're starting off. Okay, my son, if thou would receive my words and hide my commandments, right? And we go through it. Well, got her done. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, what we're talking about is as a treasure hunter, right? Lord, what kind of treasure you got for me today, right? And even in the book of Leviticus, the book of Lamentations, it might have been a different time. But while I was there at college, the warp and the woof, and what it was talking about is literally the two threads that makes fabric, right? So if you're making fabric, you have, and I didn't know what it was called, but it's called, one of it is the warp and the woof. So there's treasure, okay? So how do we seek for it? We've got to be looking. We've got to be ready to receive. We've got to be listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening, right? I have a 5-year-old who, he hears me sometimes. And the truth of the matter is he learns it because his father. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Any marriage relationships that apply? Yeah. Any friendships that applies to? Sure. Right? Right? No matter what relationship there is, you're trying to communicate, and there's a difference between hearing and listening. Okay? And so our goal should be that we're going to be listening and all the others, seeking for it as treasure. Okay? We're going to also be asking for it. Okay? So those are all ways that we seek for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now again, where does it come from? Now, the author of it always makes a difference, okay? I don't necessarily read authors a lot of times. I know some people do that, right? That you stay very up to date with their newest book, right? Sometimes people do that. Anybody do that? Does anybody? Linda, you did that a little bit, some. Okay, all right, and that is that the author, they put out a new book, and you're like, well, I got to get it. Why? Well, because it's them, right? Okay, the author makes a big difference. Okay, so where it comes from, we have to understand, and we got to be reminded of this, that where it comes from is the Lord, okay? Verse number 5, then shalt thou understand what? The fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So where it comes from is the Lord, from fearing him. Okay. We also find this, it comes from his mouth in verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I wrote here in my Bible, I wrote a cross reference, and let me just make sure I say it right, and that's Matthew 4:4. I thought of that as soon as when it talks about out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So where would that be? Scripture, right? From Scripture. So we know that wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, it comes from the Lord. It comes from his mouth, which is written down here in Scripture. It comes from Scripture, okay? Here's the next thing. Will he give it to us? Will he give it to us? What's the answer? Yes, that's right, 100%. Yes, he will. He has it prepared. Verse number 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, okay? He layeth it up. He's ready right now. If wisdom was a physical item, okay, let's just pretend, okay? Okay, that in the throne room of heaven right now, right next to God, there's a big crate. Okay, let's just think of it this way. There's a big crate, and that crate has got one word stamped right on it, wisdom. And everybody who comes boldly before the throne of grace, God says, what you need, wisdom, got it. Right? You see it? He's ready. He layeth it up. It's ready to go. So yes, he will give it to us. He will give it to us. So what we're talking about in Proverbs 2 is seeking after wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, that we're seeking for it. We're asking for it. We're listening. It comes from the Lord. It comes from Scripture, and he will give it to us. Now, here's what is interesting about the rest of Proverbs 2 is it gives us a lot of the benefits that come because of us seeking after wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, okay? So you say, why do I seek after it? Why should I? Now, I know. Everybody in here is more spiritual than I, and you wouldn't say, well, I already know that, okay? But sometimes sometimes I don't want to work for it. I just want it to be there, okay? But the truth of the matter is that when I do go after wisdom and I seek it and I'm like treasure hunting for it, okay, in God's word, then what happens is there's benefits to it, okay? Many times we want the benefit, but we don't want the work, right? I didn't mean to cuss like that at church, right? That four-letter word, W-O-R-K, right? The work, okay? But the truth is that there is work to searching for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, but here's the benefits. We'll go through them quickly, okay? All right, so let's go through them quickly. Number one, the Lord will be a shield. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A buckler, that's a shield, okay? That he is a shield. So one of the benefits I get is that the Lord is shielding me with his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding, okay? Anybody ever been blindsided, right? I don't know that you could say I play football. I tried, okay? All right, I am not an athletic person, but I did give it a shot every once in a while, okay? And there's two things I don't like to do. I don't like to hit people, and I don't like to get hit. And for some reason, I thought football would be a great idea. Dumb. Okay, yeah, that's right. So I didn't do that. But I do understand being blindsided, okay? And there were times that, yes, I was a lineman, and all of a sudden somebody comes up next to you and just plows you over, and you say, I had no idea, right? Okay? But when we think about this idea of the Lord being our shield, when we're seeking wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, listen, when we're seeking it, the Lord is giving it. He promised he would. He's giving it. And what that becomes is it becomes a shield. Okay? Anybody ever made a bad decision and had to deal with the consequences? Yeah. Right? Sure. Excuse me. Sure, we've all done that at different times. Okay? But what it's saying is that after we're seeking the wisdom and understanding and knowledge, God gives it to us, and then the Lord becomes our shield. He protects us. Why? Because he's given us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and we're seeking after him. So he protects us as a shield. Number two, he guards the paths of judgment, verse 8. Okay, he keepeth the paths of judgment. Keepeth, okay? It doesn't mean he keeps it. It means as a guard. He guards it. That's the word keepeth, okay? Is that he's on guard, okay? So he guards the paths of judgment, which means this. If I'm seeking after it, the Lord is giving it, then along my path, I will be guarded because he's guarding those right paths, okay? So he's guarding it. So he's my shield. He's guarding the path of the judgment. Then number three is this. He preserves the way of his saints. There it is, verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I am not going to wow you with my vast knowledge of preserves. So I'll tell you what I do know about preserves. I like strawberry preserves. I really like Texas barbecue when on your plate they'd give you a nice cup of apricot preserves. Remember Cattle Call? Oh, Cattle Call. Man, that was a place in the mall at Westgate Mall in Amarillo. It's not there, so I'll just entice you to it and tell you you can't go. It's closed, all right? But you get this big plate of Texas barbecue, and in the middle of it right there would be a big old tub of this apricot preserves, right? Okay, here's the idea of preserves. You take fresh strawberries or fresh apricots, you take fresh fruit, and you make them useful longer by preserving them. You pick a apricot off the tree, okay? If you don't eat it before it rots, it's done, right? But if you preserve it, listen, it makes it more useful longer, okay? So when we talk about the Lord preserving the way of his saints, God preserves our way so we can be useful longer, okay? All right, we also see this. We will understand which path is good, verse number 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. If I am seeking after wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and the Lord is giving it because he promised he would, then I'll understand which path is good. You ever been in a crossroads in life and you weren't exactly sure which way to go? That's right. We all come to them. We all have different crossroads. And the truth of the matter is many times we use our own understanding. Anybody ever heard of a pro-con list? Let me just caution you to be very careful with the pro-con list. Not because they're wicked, heathen. I'm just saying, be very careful with it. Because in our own understanding, some of the very things that we say is bad, God said is good. You understand? Okay? So that happens in a pro-con list. Oh, I look at this. Oh, this job, I can't take it. It's less money. That's obviously bad. Now, the goal is to make a paycheck, okay? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that sometimes when we're chasing the dollar, we're missing the God of the dollar, okay? So we got to be careful with pro-con list, right? Because my goal is to have wisdom and understanding and knowledge from God. So when I come to a crossroads, I say, God, which path is the right one? Which path is the good path? And then because I'm seeking it, because I'm applying it, then I make that decision based on what God said. And now all of a sudden, man, I'm enjoying the benefits of being on the right path. Anybody ever been on the wrong path? Yep, been there. Okay? And it stinks. That's about the best theological way I can say it. It stinks. All right? But we've been there. Okay? So what happens is when I'm seeking after wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and God is giving to me, and I'm applying it to my life, then I'll understand which way to go. Okay? I'll understand which path is the right way to go. Number 5, we see this. When we talk about this, we will understand which path is good. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Here's another word that we can use that helps us in our applying the word wisdom is this, discretion. Discretion. Sometimes people make a bad decision for lack of discretion, right? Discretion will preserve us, and understanding will guard us. Verse number 11, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Now, that's where I messed up, was in verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So it's reminding us again, that these are only benefits that come from us going after and seeking after the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge, okay? It's reminding us of that. Because what we like, again, is the benefits. And I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That means I can do anything I want. That's not what that means, okay? It means that God will help us in what he asks us to do. He'll help us to do it, okay? All right, so be reminded that these are benefits that come. So discretion is a benefit that comes from us seeking the Lord's wisdom in our lives, okay? They're benefits. Now, why is that helpful? Okay? Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. The benefit of having discretion is that the Lord is able to deliver us from the way of the evil man. Okay? We have to remember that we are in a spiritual fight. Okay? As my dad used to say, it's not all a Sunday school picnic. To be honest with you, I don't necessarily know what all that means. But I do know that in the spiritual life, there is a battle that's going on. Okay? And so what the benefit of having discretion is that God is able to deliver us from the way of the evil man. Now, in the attributes of the evil man, you see why it's important that the Lord helps us through that. Okay? Number one, one of the attributes of the evil man is here in verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Froward. One of the things, we could use a couple words that helps us understand froward. We could use the word twisted, perverted. Okay? So when we think about this idea of the froward man, here's the truth. A froward person is someone who twists the truth. Who twists the truth. Okay? So there's someone that they have a little bit of truth in there. You remember? If only there was an illustration. Oh, there is. Okay. And that is Eve in the garden. Right? The serpent was more subtle than any beast. He came in, and did he not twist the truth? Yea, hath God said, right? He shall not surely die, okay? So there was partial truth in there, okay? So again, going back to when we're seeking wisdom from God, the benefit of doing that is that we'll be able to see through the people who twist the truth. That's a big deal, okay? Wisdom from God protects us from people who twist the truth. Not everybody who talks to you is trying to help you. Sometimes they have their own agenda. Their agenda is to get you to do whatever they want you to do. This happens in this way a lot. Okay? I want somebody to be on my side of a situation. So I'm going to tell them the things that put me in a good light and puts the other person, people, things in a bad light. Why? Because they have an agenda. I have an agenda. Okay? That's what the froward person is. We think of somebody who's just talking pervertedly, and that's a part of it. Okay? But sometimes what we miss out is on the whole application of understanding. There are people who twist the truth. And when I'm seeking wisdom from God, God will protect me from those people who are twisting the truth. Okay? Everything that you hear is not always the truth. Even if it comes from your great, great, wonderful, beautiful, kindest grandma in the entire world. Okay? And that's not being mean to your grandma, I promise. Okay? But I'm just saying that what we need is wisdom from God to be able to discern what evil people who are out there are trying to do. Okay? So we see that. Number two, the evil person is someone who is trying to take you down the wrong path, verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Everybody who claims to be your friend is not really your friend. Some people are trying to get you to go along with them in the wrong direction. Okay? So be careful. Be careful. But again, when I'm seeking wisdom from God, I'll be able to discern that. That's a benefit. God says, I'll give you discernment. Be able to discern what an evil person is, because Satan doesn't come at us always, right? As the little red dude with the horns, the pitchfork. No. Remember, he comes to us as an angel of light at times. So we got to have discernment. Man, how do we discern that? We seek wisdom from the Lord, and he gives it to us. And the benefit is, man, I can see right through that. There are some times that you can see right through somebody, and you know exactly what they're doing. You know who that's from? It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord giving you the ability to read the situation, and it's divine wisdom from above. And that's what we should be seeking, okay? The evil person is also someone who conceals their way. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Okay, that's one whose ways are concealed. Okay, just think about it. I was in Kansas one time, and if you've been through Kansas, you'll understand this for sure. I was going to Elkhart, Kansas, in the middle of nowhere. It was during college, and we were going there for a VBS. And we come over the crest of this hill, and we look, and we can see this road, like, literally 15 miles. It was in this huge bowl, okay? It was just like this. I couldn't tell you what the road was. I just remember being there. We come over the crest, and we look at it, and we see, like, 15 miles ahead. It's a two-lane road, and there's nobody on it, okay? Now, in full disclosure, I will tell you, three college guys in a minivan, our goal is this. How fast will this thing go? Because we can see. Okay? That's the bad part of the story. Okay? All right? 112, Chrysler Town and Country. Okay. All right. So we go over. But what happens is because that road was so straight, listen, we could see straight through it. Okay? Here's what happens. You know those switchbacks and the bighorns? Am I going to go to the right? Am I going to go to the left? I don't know because I can only see just a little bit in front of me. Here's what happens. People live their lives that way. Okay? They live their lives that way, that they're trying to conceal their way. Hey, come and go with me. Come and go with me. Where are we going? Yeah, don't worry about it. Just come along for the ride. Okay? Now, that could be illustrated in a lot of different ways, but remember that the Lord's way is straight. Okay? There's your illustration. The Lord's way is straight. Why? Because you can see the destination. And if we'll just follow the Lord, he'll take us all the way through. But where my problem is that I veer off the path. And I'm over here in the weeds, and I'm over here. I live my life sometimes the way I golf. Over here, and over there, and over there. Maybe we get it there finally, okay? All right? But remember that when people are concealing what they really want to do and where they really want us to take us, the truth of the matter is that when I'm seeking wisdom from above, God will give me wisdom that I can discern through that, okay? These are benefits, okay? Also, we see this, again, back with the froward. Another part of frowardness that is not very... forget how God described Israel as a stiff-necked and a hard-hearted people. So be very careful with saying, man, I'm a stubborn person. Well, I'm going to look at you and say, I hope that's in the things of the Lord. That's a bad attribute, okay? That's like saying, hey, look at me. I'm wrong with the Lord. So just be careful. But stubborn. So that's another part of the frowardness, okay, is stubborn. And they're headed contrary to right. Okay, they're very stubborn about it. You're going to come. I'm going down this way, and you need to come with me. Okay, all right, now. Let's look at this. I'm going down this way, and you need to come with me. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at this. I promise, we're halfway there. Over halfway. Don't worry. Okay. All right. Number six. I think that's what number we're on now. All right. Going back to the benefits. So these are the things that we just went through. These five things, they're attributes of the evil man that we learned about in verse 12. Okay. Now, going back to the benefits that come, Verse is this, discretion, wisdom, and understanding will deliver you from strange women. That's verse 16, okay? To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, with flattereth with her words. Now, in the context of Proverbs, we understand that Solomon is teaching his son, okay? He's saying, hey, them strange women, it's not because they look goofy, okay? They're strange, okay? They're wicked. They're ungodly. Anytime you see the definition of or the wording of a strange woman or strange, that's not in a good light. It's not because they like to look like Punky Brewster. That's not it. Okay, they're wicked. They're wicked. Okay. So what happens is one of the benefits from seeking the Lord's wisdom is he gives us discretion and understanding and wisdom to deliver us from strange women. Now, some will say, well, That's okay, because I'm a lady. That's not a problem. Okay, I write. Okay, but the strange woman is an illustration of strange people. Okay, Solomon is warning his son that women who he should know will turn your heart away from the Lord. He did it. They did. Okay, so it is coming from a place of wisdom. But strange women are always wicked. Now, here's the other thing. Now, the interesting thing about this strange woman here in verse 16, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Wisdom, listen, wisdom protects us from flattery. Everybody likes flattery. We do, okay? I like it when my wife tells me how wonderful of a guy I am. Love it. And the problem is, I'll listen to it from anybody. We all will. Somebody starts giving us some flattering words, and some of it is, so you're saying, Mark, I can't give somebody a compliment anymore. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? All right? That's not it. Okay? Appropriately, you can give a nice compliment. Okay? All right? Don't be a creeper. But appropriately, we can give compliments. Okay? But the problem is not compliments. The problem is flattery. What is flattery? Hearing. They're telling you what you want to hear. Okay? All right? So what wisdom does is it protects us from flattery. Okay? And here's the interesting part about this strange woman in verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Here's the truth. She knows how to flatter because she used to be going the right direction. Okay, so again, we could go back to Genesis, the illustration there of Satan. He knew what would get Eve. Okay, so mix it with that. Okay, how do we discern through that? Through wisdom from God, and that's a benefit that comes that wisdom will protect us from flattery. Okay, now verse number 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Okay? Here's what wisdom protects us from. Places that lead to death. Okay? Now, I'm not just talking about walking off a cliff. Okay? So what wisdom is saying here is that the strange woman, her end is death. Okay? Now, we can apply that in a lot of ways. We'll do it real quickly. Ready? Sin will always lead us down a path that something dies. Let me show you. Okay? Somebody following the Lord wants to do what's right? Yes. Okay? But they go off a wrong direction. There's always a death of something. That might be a death of dreams. Listen, that can be a death of relationships. How many marriages have been ruined by flattery and things of that nature, right? That's a real thing we face in our world. And with our digital world, it can be some girl you talked to in junior high, umpteen years ago, those are real things that happen, okay? So here's what I'm saying. Wisdom protects us from that, though, okay? Wisdom will protect us from the places that will lead to death. Yes, it can be the death of life, but it can be the death of dreams. It can be the death of relationships. The death of all those things. Okay, so wisdom protects us from the places that lead to death. Okay, now number 7. Don't worry, I promise. This is it. This is the last one. Okay, all right. Wisdom protects us from making decisions that can never be undone. Verse 19. None that go unto her again return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Listen, wisdom protects us from making decisions that can never be undone. And here's the truth. Decisions that make or break our life don't always come to us categorized as decisions that are make or break. Okay? What do you mean? That small, what seemingly is a small decision can all of a sudden lead to some whack destruction. And when you're in that decision, you're like, what led me to there? And it was this decision, and you think, oh, wow, that wasn't what I thought a make-or-break decision would look like. Okay? So wisdom protects us from making those decisions of things that can never be undone. We are so thankful for the grace of God that extends to all of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's see here, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This does not demean at all the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God. But the truth of the matter is we all know that some decisions, while can be forgiven, cannot be undone. And sometimes those decisions don't flash you like a big neon sign saying, this is a make or break decision. So what do I need? I need discernment. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need knowledge. And God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. I'll protect you from making decisions that you can never undo. I'll protect you if you'll seek my wisdom, my understanding, my knowledge. Okay? Now, here it is. The reason for it all. The wisdom, the warning, it is because this phrase. I wrote it down. I tried to summarize it into one sentence. God's wisdom, understanding, and knowledge will keep us walking with the right people on the right path to the right place. If we'll receive it. He has it. He says, ask for it, and I'll give it. Okay? But if we don't, here's the final conclusion. If we don't use God's wisdom, we will be cut off. We will have destruction. We will be on the wrong path. We will be heading at the wrong place. Okay? Here we go, verse 20. So the goal is that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Do you remember what the Bible says about the way of the transgressor? It's hard. And it's down the wrong path with all sorts of destruction that will come along with it. Okay? But again, if we'll seek it. Why would you preach a message like this tonight? Because we got a good, fresh start ahead of us in a few hours. And our goal should be that, Lord, I don't know what's facing me tomorrow. But the truth is, I also don't know what's going to be facing me 364 days from now. I don't know. I don't. But God, what I do know is that I'm going to need your wisdom. I'm going to need your understanding. I'm going to need your knowledge to face what's coming down the path this year. I'm going to need it. And the Lord says, great, I have it. But you got to ask for it. You got to seek it like a treasure hunter. I drive down 1416 north and I go by a couple mines and I look at it and I say, that's a really big hole. And it is. It's a really big hole. Is it big from the bottom side of it too? Some of y'all have been in it? Okay. Because it looks real big from the top. Okay. But I look past it, and I look at it, and I say, wow, that is really deep. That is a really big bunch of coal. That's massive. Right? My mind doesn't even comprehend what my eyes are seeing. Okay. Oh, look, it's a little Tonka truck. Not really. It's a ginormous, right? Okay? All right, here's where I'm headed with this. When you're driving down 1416, when you get right before the entrance of Buckskin, right there, look at the dirt. I understand some of that's reclaimed land. I understand that too, okay? But go with me here. Okay? Think about the land after that last mine, any of the mines. And you're looking, and you look at that pit, say, how in the world did you guys find that? Right? It just looks like dirt. It literally, if this was in Texas, it would be like, it's got yucca and mesquite. How did you know that was under there? Right? Okay. But you have this massive amount of coal that's piled under, at maybe at some point it's just a little tiny bit of dirt. Or maybe it's a lot of dirt that's on top of it. But what happens? They worked for it. They mined it out. And now you look at it and we enjoy the benefits. I'm glad that there's lights. I'm glad there's electricity. And I'm really glad for it. Okay? And we are too. But here's my point. Is that along the path of life, we could be missing things that are all around us. Because we're not asking God for discernment. We're not asking God for wisdom. We're not asking God for knowledge or understanding. And it just looks like dirt. And all the while, we might be driving over massive amounts of coal, of diamonds, of precious treasures, because we're not willing to get a shovel and say, Lord, I'm going to dig. I'm going to need some help. So, Lord, as I come to the scripture, Lord, where's the treasure? Where's the wisdom? Where's the understanding? Where's the knowledge? Because I need it. I need it for today. And I don't know what's ahead. My favorite song is a song that was sung, and it says, He's already in your tomorrow. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether in joy or in sorrow, He'll do just what He said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow, so keep pressing on. He's already there. He's a lot farther than one step ahead. He's already in eternity future. All we need is we need to ask Him. So this year, our goal should be, Lord, I need it. Now will you help me find it? And He'll says, every time, I'll help you find it. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us.